la verga. mi pinche culo.
Mi ano.
How do you say constipated in Spanish?
Estás tapado del culo.
I can't even say that again, but I'll just say constipation on mi culo.
What makes me laugh is that the most of what you've gotten good at as far as Spanish is all things related to pain in your asshole or things around your dick. That's the only thing you've gotten good at saying in Spanish.
That's just a dickhead. What can I say?
I've tried to like show you some like workable Spanish, but it usually ends up in dick and shit humor.
I know every variation of calling somebody stupid or retarded.
Pendejo. Tontito.
Tontito's very like insulting.
Mi amo es tontito.
So after our Mexico City adventure, we decided to, well, we had a counter custody class in We had a counter custody class in Florida that we went out to. I hadn't been out to Florida in a while. I used to do classes where was this place? Dude, it's been years that I've been doing classes. They kind of meld into one another.
It was in Florida?
Yeah, I used to do classes out in Florida.
Like Tampa, Orlando, Miami.
Yeah, and I think I took off like 2 years and without coming back. So it was the first time out there again after a few years. Great crowd. Some amazing people showed up to that training. We ran people through how to get out of like weird exotic restraints, how to open up things, how to make things, to open up handcuffs, how to utilize aluminum measuring tape to make shims to pick open handcuffs. Just, you know, the counter custody, you know, the weirdness that we put people through.
They all did pretty good too. Like nobody, I would say nobody quit. I think we kind of forced one or two people to quit because they had tried so hard they injured themselves.
Yeah.
So
it's at the end of this 2-day experience, we basically put people into a restraint scenario. Like
a
high stress restraint scenario. We're not there to scare anybody. We're not there to be, I don't know. Like I've seen other people do it in their certain way. Get people into a place where they make the tools of their own liberation. That's basically what we go through over 2 days. How to make the tools yourself, how to smuggle them into a space that you might be able to feasibly use them without your stuff getting found, because we're constantly searching them over and over again to see if we can find anything on them. So they have to be very good with how they hide these things.
At the same time as they're using them, they can't be just moving around a whole lot and stuff.
And eventually we'll put them into a restraint scenario where we put the handcuffs, zip ties, duct tape, and a variation or a combination thereof. And they have a set amount of time that they need to produce the tools of the liberation and use them. And, you know, easier said than done for some people. It's not about brute strength. Every now and then you get comments online about, you could just pop the restraints open this way or that way. And I always tell them, like, come to one of these classes and show us if it's that easy. I personally appreciate how some people that think they're going to do really well in those exercises find that they have pre-existing conditions like, hey, I get locked into a state of rage when I have people manhandling me, and it doesn't allow me to concentrate on the tools that I have and how to release myself. So I have anger issues in a lot of ways that might get in the way of me acting in a smart way in a high stress scenario. So people have that revelation sometimes in that training, or pre-existing trauma shows up. You know, and we had somebody after going through that experience kind of tell me like, hey, this made me realize that I'm pretty bad at confined spaces because I had this experience when I was a kid. And I went back to it when I was going through this experience. So I know that this is something that I have like hanging out in the back of my mind that I should probably work on. It's a wild experience. It's never the same class because the people usually showing up to it and the ideas they have and the way that they work out their problems usually changes the dynamics of some of these classes. So it's never the same class. It's always different.
And it's not, you know, we didn't tell anybody that was there about this until maybe at the very end of closing. But we put all our employees through this too, even if they're not instructors or they're on the back end and you may never even know about it.
We have a pretty substantial crew now.
Almost every employee has taken almost every class, if not they've taken a class.
Yeah.
And it's the only reason they haven't taken every class is it's just not in the area. So that's one of the things when I came on board was one of the perks of working for us was we're not going to pay your travel, but if you want to take any class for free, we'll 100% put you in. And I think the benefit to that is that then they know what we're selling, you know, and they understand and you know, when we're selling counter custody tools and stuff like that, it's not just like this little package that you're just mixing, you know, like putting together and then selling. These are like legit tools that like maybe you should probably, if you're in spicy zone, you should maybe Band-Aid to your butt cheek or something, you know?
Yeah, know about them. We had one member of our staff show up that mm-hmm. hadn't had that experience. Did great.
Yeah.
But it was eye-opening to see, you know, again, we interact with these people and some of these people have been working with us for a while, and we've in many ways become this close-knit group, and like so it's always interesting to me as somebody on this end seeing how they react and how they kind of behave in some of these environments of high stress. And like for me, it makes them even more valuable now that I know that they're like, you're not only, you know, part of the group, but also like we've suffered together, so we know shit. Yeah. Like it's an experience, and I think it's a pretty good one.
It's not that we want to test our employees either. It's just, in my eyes, I just want you to know what we're selling.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, again, and also, like, there's a lot of stress and a lot of modified, you know, stressors or stress modifiers that we utilize in some of these classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm... You know me, and I always have this conversation with all of you guys when we do these classes. It's not about scaring anybody. It's about giving them a realistic level of pressure and also fucking with them.
Yeah.
So if whatever plan they think they have gets tested, and whatever tools they think are going to work gets tested in a real way, and they come out of there with an experience. If anything, what we're selling in those classes is a controlled, chaotic experience.
You'll get to know yourself better. You know, it's the best way I can describe it is if you haven't done jiu-jitsu, it's your first day of sparring in jiu-jitsu, and then you know where you stand. You know, like I fucking suck. Or like when you, and another thing with counter custody is it's all, you know, we purposely tell people like, hey, don't put anything in your asshole today. Like, one, because I just don't want people with poo hands, you know, all over the place on the floor. But two, like, nobody's going to shove shit up their ass. The people taking these courses, I don't care how, even, you know, there's agency people, like, you know, Alphabet agency people taking these classes, and they're not shoving shit up their ass all the time. You know, so it's like, if you're in spicy zone, you know, hide it on your person, hide it on your body, something. But like, you got to make this a daily thing. If you're going to spicy zones,
if you're spending 10 minutes a day making a fake wound to put on your arm so you can hide something,
you're not going to do it. It's going to get old real quick.
So, a big part of this also is this homework assignment we give them. Like, mm-hmm. hey, these are the tools that you need to replicate, because we give them these kits, and it's not that we're giving them the tools that they're going to use for the exercise. We're giving them reference material.
Yeah.
Like, this is what the tool that you need to modify, manufacture, make looks like. So take these with you as you go to Hobby Lobby, Walmart. I don't know.
People always bring them into the classes, and I wish they wouldn't. I wish they would fabricate their own tools, because we know that the tools that that we're giving you in this bag work, and you should save that for like what you're going to carry in a daily person. But figure out some junk you can make at home.
Yeah.
And then try it out.
You know? People come back with, we give them like handcuff shims that are purposely made to circumvent the functionality of handcuffs. But then they go out and they realize that feeler gauges are pretty good material for that, or hair, certain types of hair clips, or now with some of the more modern handcuffs that are have tighter tolerances because people are now aware that some of these things could be, you know, open in that way. Some of those won't function with some of the existing traditional tools out there, or some of the legacy tools out there, like these plastic handcuffs, plastic handcuff keys that are everywhere that never work in these scenarios that we do.
They get stuck in handcuffs.
They either break the plastic handcuff key in the keyway, or they're too small to manipulate under pressure behind their backs. So it's always interesting for them to come at the end of the day. You see all these people trying to figure out a problem. At the end of the day, you see what works, and they spread it out on the ground, and it's basically the same. They come up with the same conclusion over and over again, right? And you see all these new types of tools that are like, oh, they made this. Mm-hmm. So if you go somewhere and you travel internationally and you take a set of tools with you that are ninja tools that are immediately recognizable as spy or CIA or SEER tools or whatever, that could land you into more trouble than it's probably worth. But if you now have the software with you that you know how to manufacture and make any of these things with garbage or from that you can find around you, or to
COVID trip mask store, or whatever.
Yeah, the nose, the bendable piece of a COVID mask, these shims and keys that people were making out of the aluminum measuring tape, feeler gauges, the modified handcuff keys with arms and leverage arms so they can spin them behind their back. You know, it's arts and crafts of the highest degree, and it's pretty cool to see people just turn into tool makers instead of, you know, these people that want to buy this fancy key online because it's the best solution. They're buying amulets of protection. They're not buying tools. So like software over hardware, all that, like 100%. And if people are kind of on the fence about coming to some of these classes, don't ask us, like ask the alumni. Anytime we post a class, I was like, hey, if you have any questions, we'll have some of the prior students answer them for you in the comments. It's an experience. Mm-hmm. It's an experience.
I wanted to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of our Patreon members for their generous support. It's the only way we can bring some of these amazing people behind the microphone and have some of these amazing Midnight of the Soul conversations for you guys. If you're not already a part of the Patreon community, please consider joining us. We have our giant online training catalog for you guys to have access to, as well as some exclusive Sneak Reaper Industries merch drops for you guys at the Dead Drop tier. I would also like to thank the company Sneak Reaper Industries, one of our main supporters and a company that provides some of the most amazing urbanware, survival specific, and cutlery out there. Your support not only makes this show possible, but also supports some of the charities that we run, including the Fighter's Kitchen out of Puerto Escondido, where we're supporting some up-and-coming fighters under the tutelage of Eddie Farrell. Thank you for your support, and again, please consider joining us on the Patreon. And now back to the show.
Just like the experience we had after.
Oh my God. So we were gonna... So the... well, first, shout out to GSS Gear for hosting us there. Very cool store that I've never... It's an amazing... Like, you want Arc'teryx Leaf, it's there. You want, you know, Patagonia military line, it's there. It's stuff that normal civilians cannot usually buy, and it's an amazing store,
dude. I bought a backpack there.
A sling bag.
I
got a shirt that looks like what does it look like?
What
shirt? Remember the black button up shirt that I got?
No,
I look like a sushi chef.
Oh yeah, you look like a professional sushi chef. It was cool. It's a cool shirt.
I like it. I'm probably gonna wear it to a wedding. Here. Yeah,
you just needed the sushi hat.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Ties in the back. What do they say whenever you walk into a sushi place? What do they say?
I have no idea.
They're like, "Hey,
what is that? That's racist. I think you're doing some racist. I don't know, man. I've never gotten that.
They don't do that in Mexico. Like,
no, they Mexico. Hey, que buenos días. Because they're Mexicans. No.
It's just like when we went to Mr. U
and also last night. Yeah, it's also like even in the U.S. I've been to some like high level sushi places. All the kitchen is full of Mexicans. Maybe,
but there's that guy at the front. He's like, "JJ,
I have no idea what they're saying, dude.
That's what it sounds like. I'm not trying to be racist.
You're definitely trying to be racist. Okay.
That's how it sounds.
Yeah. We got into some shit after the class.
Yeah. Right? So the goal was to go to. I have never been to a Buc-ee's, and I was all excited to go to Buc-ee's.
I have been to a Buc-ee's before we continue on. Holy shit. Why aren't there Buc-ee's all over the U.S.?
Why aren't there?
I have no idea. It's an experience. I remember going. You can buy
everything.
Everything
it looks like
a sword. I guess. Like, I remember there was
still swords there.
I think there was one Buc-ee's I went to. They had like a knife section.
A Buc-ee's branded. If there is a Buc-ee's branded knife, somebody tag us in that.
Dude, there's some shit. It's Bieber nuggets. I told you.
I've never eaten anything from Buc-ee's.
Bieber nuggets. You need to get in some Bieber nuggets.
Is that a snack or is it like?
It's meat? It's a snack. it's like a bag of them, and they only sell them there. Dude, it's
caramel experience. Or what is it?
I can't explain it. It's okay. Great. It's crack. It's crack. It's a bag of crack. You're not gonna be able to stop.
Let me say before I tell you to. Before we get to
the plan was to go to a Buc-ee's.
So right. The plan was to go to Buc-ee's.
which we never got to.
And we had a very detailed night ops also planned that we planned on filming and got special equipment for.
Ghost hunting equipment as well.
Ghost hunting equipment.
Like just in case.
Idiots.
Dude, we were going to go... We can't say where, okay. But we were going to go somewhere pretty fucking, probably haunted.
Very haunted. Going there without permission. It was going to be spicy.
It was a spicy place.
In the middle of the night.
And ghosts were probably going to be there. Dude, we're dorks.
We bought special equipment.
It wasn't special. Dude, it was like this fucking.
No, we bought special equipment. It's not, you can't buy this at Target.
So like when we're going there, Eddie was like, "Hey, like we're gonna have nods, like gear and shit like that. What do you need?
I built you a chest rig, specifically for this
cool fucking chest rig. Haley Strategic,
yeah,
dude, totally nerding out on the gear. And Eddie's like, "Hey, Ed, what else do we need?" And I'm like, "I think we need some ghost hunting equipment."
But you wouldn't let me bring my PKE meter, my Ghostbusters.
No, dude, you would. Because
you're like, "You're gonna ruin
it. You're gonna ruin it, dude." Dude, we got these.
They're like ghost radios.
It's like you ask something, and then it scans a radio, and like it'll stop sporadically, and you'll hear like certain words, and it's probably your mind just like.
That's what I'm wondering. Like if it's more your mind, like that does make sense. Like it's trying to fit in the gaps.
I don't know. I thought it was fun. But you were going to pull out a PKE meter and just ruin everything.
But the PKE meter, the new one from Hasbro, has the EMF thing in it. So it does detect like.
But ruin is it because it's like, dude, that's from a
movie. Well, it'd be super. Poser. Well, the goal was to stay hidden by the night, and that PKE meter would have lit up any room or building we were in. So.
Well, we didn't get that far.
So we were on our way back to the place we were staying at. And unfortunately, it started raining.
It wasn't rain.
It was downpour.
Yeah, we can see in front of us with the amount of rain coming down.
And the vehicle that we were in started drifting towards the right, hit a gigantic puddle. We then started going sideways.
When we started losing gravity.
Yes,
I remember your. I remember your voice calmly saying, "Oh, we're going over."
So I have.
It's just like, "Oh, we're going over."
So, yeah. So, I have a lot of off-road experience, like a lot of very fast off-road driving experience. I've crashed a lot. I'm actually very good driving off-road now because of all these crashes and stuff. So I can tell when it's when you're at that breaking point and where to like drive that fine line. I kind of when it started raining and when we hit that puddle, it was like game over. So we started going sideways, lost control, went sideways, and proceeded then to barrel roll. So you're right. So right as we hit it, I'm like,
oh, we're going over.
Oh, we're going.
but like a very calm, oh, we're going over. I've also been in many crashes in my life. A lot of them purposeful. Like, oh, let's crash into that car that's trying to go away. So as we were doing that, I immediately went into bracing. You know, I was just bracing to the side of the window, putting my foot on the side to try and keep myself in a space.
Like, I'm wondering if that did you more harm. Like, you know how they say, like, you know how they say drunks never get hurt?
Yeah, so
You still got the scar.
Yeah.
That's going to probably be a forever scar.
It was a third-degree burn.
Yeah.
Which, again, the airbags came down at such a...
Well, because they're filled with jet fuel. Those things come down with jet fuel. Yeah.
So it burned the shit out of my arm.
So that's what we figured out the other day, was that the airbag actually, like, skinned you.
Yeah. It burned the shit
out. Mixed with that and the fuel.
Burned the shit out of my arm. And also, part of the roof caved in.
Mm-hmm.
On your neck.
Yes.
And on my head.
Yes.
And I've suffered many...
Plethora
of concussions and TBIs in my life. And apparently they get worse every time.
Yeah, every concussion gets worse.
But as soon as we were on the ground again, my first instinct... You remember this.
We landed on our tires. So that was good.
But my first instinct was like... Let me get the fuck out of this car.
Well, because it looked like it was smoking.
Yeah, so I
knew it was the gas from the airbags.
I've been in many of those, and sometimes it wasn't the gas. So
I couldn't get out.
I can't get out. Like, grabbed the door, kicked the door open like a maniac, looked under the car and said, turn off the car. And I saw that it was the gas from the airbag. So I think we're like, oh, we're cool, I guess. And then I saw the damage on the roof, and I was like... My all the adrenaline in me. I was like, oh, I'm fine, everything's good. Like, what's going on? And you're like, hey, dude, my neck's fucked.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, you're fine. And they're like, dude, what's up with your arm? And look down, like, dude, Freddy Krueger arm. It's all burnt. I was just pressurized and adrenalized by the experience. So I was like, God damn, that was kind of fun and cool, but also like, what the fuck?
It was kind of on par for us, but we went over and then right away the OnStar kicks in. It's like SOS and it starts doing all that stuff and sending out, you know, help and stuff. But what happened with me in the back seat is I knew we were going over the second we went sideways, because there's I knew eventually we would hit traction.
Yeah.
So I knew we were going over. So that's why I said, oh, we're going over. And then luckily for pure luck, dude, I couldn't find, like, there's the female end of the seatbelt wasn't on my side, right? So I was like, fuck. I was like, this was when we first got into the vehicle. I couldn't snap my seatbelt in. So I snapped my seatbelt over here, like in the middle, because I was sitting in the back seat, in the middle part.
Yeah.
So I had like this, my seatbelt was going all the way across like this, which was probably a good thing. So when we went over, the roof caved down on my neck, and I have fused vertebrae already in my neck. So like when it hit me, it was like, boom, hit me. And then I knew enough. I was like, hey, I don't know if this vehicle is going to compact. Like if we're going to land upside down, I'm going to compact. So luckily the seatbelt didn't get tight and hold me in my spot. I was able to go down and kind of hold the bottom of the seat and kind of my legs. And I was like, the hell with it. I'm going to ride this out in the footwells because, you know, in case this thing flattens, I'm not going to take another hit to my head or whatever. So when we landed wheels up, I was like almost near the floorboards, like holding on, like purposely putting my body there. And then we got up and I kind of had to like sit like this. But had I had sitting straight up in my seat, I probably would have got my head like scalped, because my headrest was so it was a truck. My headrest was in the back of this
bent channel.
Yeah, so like the headrest was out in the back of the truck, and my head would have been there too.
Yeah, and that same line went to the front of the car, and that's where I hit that's where I got my concussion.
And there was a spare tire mounted vertically in the back of this truck, and
that probably saved us
because that stayed so rigid that it didn't allow it to crumple anymore because that tire was there, and we just bounced back over at our tires. So I couldn't get my door open, so you like yank my door open, and I get out, and I'm like, oh, my neck hurts.
Yeah.
So then, but you were like, oh, you're fine. So then, fire.
Dude, I'm Mexican, like just drink a Coke and mix paparu.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Have some 7-Up, and so then ambulance and fire come, and then
we take you to the emergency room.
Well, we sign myself out, so like they do they under medical advice or whatever, I signed myself out because I didn't think I needed an ambulance or whatever. I didn't get unconscious or anything. And then, but I was like, hey, my neck hurts. I've already got fused vertebrae. Like, it would be stupid not to.
Yeah.
So we go to this we go to this hospital in where we were in Florida, and like it was the most efficient. I'm used to California medical care, which fucking sucks. This hospital is just and the one of our employees who was with us, who lives down that way, he was like, this isn't even one of the best hospitals, but it was the closest, and they had a trauma center. So right away, I tell him like, hey, I was just involved in a vehicle rollover. We were probably going about this fast, and she's like, oh, okay. Yeah. So she calls it back in the ER. She's all, level 2 trauma. I'm like, oh, that's going to be me. Watch. They come out with a wheelchair and they're like, hey, get up in here and like, don't move. And
meanwhile, I'm translating for this Dominican dude that had his broken arm. Remember that?
His arm was all dilapidated. He's like, I fell off
the ladder and I was trying to, I thought it was just sprained. His hand's all broken. Yeah. And he couldn't speak to the lady.
Deformed, yeah. So
they were trying to call this translator.
And she didn't even want you to help at first.
Yeah, I was like, who are you? Like, I don't know. Like, so, hey, hermano, ¿qué te pasó? Oh, creo que me quebré el brazo. Then he's talking
he's to like, look at my arm.
Like, this is what's wrong with me. As that was happening, they were like rolling you into this emergency room.
So they roll me in, and they're like, we need you to take off all your clothes, and da-da-da-da. I forgot about this part.
No, I did. Like, I was like, when they rolled you in, I was like, did Eddie take his gun off?
No, I didn't. So, like,
and I was like, dude, they rolled you in there with strapped.
Yeah, so I go back, and they're like, hey, we need to take your clothes off. I'm like, and then I was like, oh. I was like, hey, just to let you guys know, I'm carrying.
Yes, yeah.
And he's like, all right, can you take it off and hand it to me? And I was like, fuck it. So I can pull it out in the middle of the emergency room, take it out. I'm like, eject the round, hand it to him. And
they're pretty cool about it.
Yeah, they were chill.
But I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah. So I take that off, and I start taking off all my clothes and stuff. And they hand me a gown, and he's like, lay down on the bed. I'm like, all right. And they put a C collar on me, and he's like, hey, just to let you know, things are gonna be pretty fast here. So I'm like, all right. So I'm laying there, bam, an IV starts.
I was ready to spend the night there,
dude, but it was that's because that's what you would think. And then so like they like put an IV in. And they're like, hey, we're going to wheel you over to go get a CT. And I'm like, oh, already? Okay. So they wheel me over. I get a CT real quick. They administer. They didn't even tell me what they were pushing. I was like, hey, are you pushing meds or something? And he's like, yeah, we're going to give you a muscle relaxer and like some pain meds. And I was like, all right. So they push that. And CT, I mean, dude, we were only there for an hour. In an hour, I got a CT scan. I got
an hour 30.
Yeah. I got like all worked up, and they're like, no, it looks like you just, wrung your shit a little bit. And
meanwhile, I'm standing there giving you all this shit with a third degree burn on my arm.
Yeah. So
concussed like a motherfucker.
So you're
like, are you fine? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm okay. And the dude looked at him around like, dude, that's a third degree burn. That's fine. I'll just rub some Vicks on it or something. Yeah.
So he's like, no, you should get checked out, which you should have.
Dude, you should have. This is like, I think there's a lesson here. Any head injury is a serious head injury.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised. I mean, I felt.
But you didn't, in your defense, you were probably a little rattled at first, but you were, the effects of your concussion didn't.
They manifested later.
Yes, like a few hours.
Like, so we were like bullshitting in the emergency room with you. Taking selfies with you and shit, like butt naked and all that crap, trying to peek in all this shit. And then we're like on our way out, and on the ride back, I start feeling drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you, like, hey, dude, I feel drunk right now. And I thought maybe I'm crashing from all the adrenaline, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we get back to the place we're staying at, I just crashed out.
Which I don't think you're supposed to do. Like with concussions, you're not supposed to like immediately go to sleep.
I have no idea what I'm doing, dude. I'm on autopilot. The next morning, we're like, I'm a zombie. And I struggle to wake up. We go to the airport.
Which we had to get up early for.
Too. Yeah, we go to the airport. We end up in a connecting flight. We end up stuck on the tarmac because of
lightning. Because they won't load luggage during thunder and lightning.
So basically, we spent 5 hours on the plane, and I passed out completely.
Like literally passed out. I wasn't going to sleep.
I passed out for five. Like I blacked out for 5 hours on the plane. I thought I was that dude from Commando that gets his neck broken. He's dead tired. That type of shit. I think I was like, man, I walk off that plane. I come back to consciousness after we land, and I tell you that, dude, I think there's something wrong with me.
You should have got the same workup as I did right then, but it didn't manifest. Your biggest concern was your arm, because you said your head was fine. Like it hurt a little bit, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I felt like I got my head smashed, but that was.
Wonder why that was. I wonder why it took a minute for the effects to.
I don't know.
Maybe because the adrenaline was pumping through you still.
Maybe, and also like it's not my first head injury.
Yeah, so it just took a minute.
But it got progressively worse. Mm-hmm. And I think like 3 days into it, when we got back, I told you like, hey, Eddie, I think I'm going to need some time off. And I got myself checked out. And the thing that they told me as soon as like, dude, you should have been hospitalized immediately after this fucking concussion. It's a pretty serious thing. They looked at my arm. They said, this is a third degree burn you have on your arm that you're just like walking around
rubbing with Vicks. And 7-Up.
Dude, I went to sleep one night, and I just rolled.
It was gross looking. It was like brown and shit, like because it was oozing through the bandage.
It's a third-degree burn.
Fucking disgusting.
So I remember one night, I rolled onto my side, and this wound basically stuck to the blanket. So when I woke up, I tried to raise my arm. I was like, God, dude, I'm horrible at taking care of myself is what you're probably learning.
And I told you, I was like, you should get kicked, checked out too. And you're like, nah, I ain't a bitch like you.
I did say, that's fine. Dude, I'm fine. Like I've been through worse. Dude, I should have been checked out.
Yeah.
I should have been checked out.
We were there already.
I went to get some help afterwards, and they were like pretty horrified about the fact that I didn't. But I think I took 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had to mandatory rest.
You got a CT, and it showed a stage 3 concussion.
Yeah. Mandatory rest. Lessons that I learned. There are burn related bandaging and materials now in my emergency medical equipment.
Don't just wrap it with Curlex and call it a day.
Dude, that's horrible.
Yeah.
The lessons that I learned, concussions get progressively worse every time you have one, apparently. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Treat all head injuries seriously, dude. It was scary after the fact because I felt the effects of it get progressively worse, and I was on my own by this point. You guys were off doing your own thing, and I was like in a place where I was just it was just me. So I had to, I didn't have enough confidence to drive myself to somewhere. So I had to like, dude, it got bad.
We were pretty lucky. Like we didn't get worse off. Like,
yes,
that could have been, we could have broke our necks. Like,
yeah, that could have been very bad.
Yeah.
That could have been
broke mine again, basically.
I mean, I probably lost a few more memories there, I think.
Yeah, so we dude, so, and that truck drove home.
Yeah.
That fucking truck drove home.
Great truck.
Yeah.
But I definitely didn't drive home after that shit.
What do you call it? What was I going to say about that? We did not get to go to Bucky's.
We didn't go to Bucky's.
I tried.
Somebody out there, please, if you find us on the road and Eddie's with us, let's figure out a way to go. We need to go to
Bucky's. I want to go to Bucky's. And we didn't get to do that night op either. But we did try Whataburger. You had Whataburger.
I've been living in Texas for a while. So, you know, it's always a thing they were like, where'd you live here before? Spent some time in Kentucky and in California. So what's better, In-N-Out or Whataburger? And it's like a tribal thing, man. It's fighting words.
Texans, Florida people will be like, Whataburger's better than In-N-Out. I am here to tell you right now.
Dude, you're going to start.
I don't care. I'm going to tell you right now, In-N-Out is far superior in every realm than Whataburger. Whataburger is 100% the equivalent of Burger King. It is a Burger King Whopper.
God,
that's all it is. It's nothing. The fries are not really special. It is Burger King. You know what beats Whataburger? Not Burger King, because Burger King is gross too. But In-N-Out beats Whataburger. Baker's beats Whataburger. And
Baker's.
Yeah. And which you haven't had yet, the Del Taco burger, the cheeseburger from Del Taco, beats Whataburger.
This is something I have to. So you're saying Del Taco? So you've taken me.
Whataburger.
You took me to the original Del Taco.
Well, you had that was some shitty. Dude, that wasn't really top. Like,
dude, you took me to Eddie took me to the fucking original Del Taco
in Baker's in California.
Yeah, it's still California, and fed me this taco. Dude, this taco was.
It's bad. It was as bad as that Mexican restaurant we went to in Florida.
Yeah. That was an experience. That was an experience. So you're telling me that they sell burgers and those are better than Whataburgers?
Yes. So a lot of people don't even know that Del Taco sells cheeseburgers. They're actually really good. They're pretty good. Whataburger is not that great. But I had White Castle it wasn't White Castle. They were Crystal. I don't think it's Crystal because that's alcohol.
Burger. White Castle? No.
It wasn't White Castle. They were Crystal Burgers. But they were pretty good. I ate a shit ton of them. I ate like 10. They were pretty good.
Yeah.
But because I've been to Florida a bunch of times already, but This was definitely by far the most dangerous trip I've ever taken to Florida. It seems like Florida.
We got close.
Florida is like the training grounds for Australia. It seems like.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's like if you're gonna go to Australia and spend some time there, you should probably go to Florida first and like deal with the alligators and deal with car crashes and like everything that's trying to kill you, because Australia seems like it would be way worse. So you just need to like spend a week in Florida and like, okay, now I can go to Australia.
God damn, we need to, and after that trip, I told you like, hey, dude, I think we need to slow down. We just went from like going to this death altar in the middle of the most violent part of Mexico City to the pyramids and almost falling off one of them to, you know, almost cracking our heads open and dying in the middle of the fucking rainstorm.
Yeah, I mean, we were very lucky.
We're protected. Apparently,
we posted pictures of me in the hospital bed, and everybody's like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah,
what are you guys doing? And the Jackass music was perfect for that, because that's right up our alley. But So we had ideas for some cool content, and didn't happen because our brains were rattled with.
But we will get to them eventually.
We'll get to them. But But yeah, it was a good class. It was we had some meetings with a bunch of our employees as well, and it was a very productive weekend. Yeah. You know,
we're growing. It was one thing I kind of realized in this trip, independently of the bullshit we went through, we have a pretty solid group of people with us. These are people that for some reason have gravitated towards our circle, and you know, a lot of the stuff we're doing, people sometimes might only see the podcast part of it, but we're a training company, we're a consultancy company, we're a media company, we're working on Hollywood productions and a few other things behind the scenes as well. We're, you know, on the largest platforms on the planet when it comes to like podcasting. We show up everywhere. And we have an amazing team behind us, and it's growing. It's a growing team, and something about this trip just kind of solidified that whole. A lot of people see me as kind of the face of this, and dude, there's so many people behind this project that yeah. It's just become this. Monster of a thing.
It's grown. It's kind of like that Sneak Reaper Kali image. It's yeah. Like with all arms. There's so many arms of this company that, you know, it's not even so much this company. It's there's arms in every direction that you may not even know about, but there's a lot that we're doing and just
yeah. You know, we're
it's a lot of fun stuff.
We're well, you guys, I'm going to sit this one out, but we're headed towards the world's largest hacker convention in Las Vegas. We're going to be at DEF CON this time as a...
Yeah, we'll be at DEF CON as a vendor. That'll be... when this airs, DEF CON will probably already be over, but we are going there as a vendor. I will also be getting some content there, as well as one of our other employees who that's more the DEF CON related material is more on his side of things. I'm also going to have another convention that's more like retail and manufacturing based in Vegas that I'll be also be going to in August, September. We have a lot. We have a class Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
we have,
we're going to Pittsburgh. We're going to do a.
That'll still be when this airs. That'll still be available for purchase. So that'll be a weaponology class in Pittsburgh. So if you're in Pittsburgh, you should definitely sign up for that. And October is going to be
crazy.
Yeah, October. The rest of the year, August. We're going to kind of lay low for a while.
I'm on mandatory chill out. Right now, so...
But September, it goes wild.
We're going to go wild. So we have a... I personally have some pretty big projects that are coming that are going to kind of involve most of me that are coming up at the end of the year and most of next year. So if people want to have that training experience and you want to kind of check me out as far as the classes go, this is the year. I'm maybe going to have to take the bench for a bit next year. So if you're out there... We're about to go to Switzerland as well, mm-hmm. which is going to be the first time we head out that way.
First time in Europe.
So if you guys want to check us out, we're definitely
Switzerland is sold out. So if you know,
we're looking.
We want to go to Japan.
We're looking toward Japan. So if you know anybody out there that might want to host us, we're looking toward Japan, and we're also looking towards other parts of Europe as well. So if you guys want to have a cool training experience out there, let us know. We just need, we were always looking for hosting basically to try and figure
out. I want to go to Iran and Israel.
God. Well, good luck with that. I think Florida was enough for me.
Dude, my neck is just now like, this still hurts a little bit.
Well, my head is still. I'm still trying to figure out, you know. The way I describe it is this. My ghost is still settling in my body.
Your skeleton's like, Hey, bro.
My ghost is still my ghost is still trying to fit back into the. That's how I feel. Dude, concussions are no joke. Yeah.
We want to talk about what we did today?
What?
Well, not about like the personal stuff, but that was yesterday. We went to Travertine Rock.
Oh yeah. So
off Highway 86 in California.
It's a roadside
public altar.
Holy death altar. That is pretty interesting. It's a lot of these public altars you'll see on smuggler routes sometimes. Like that's a pretty common thing to see in some as far as where these are. But this was a pretty interesting one because it's overlooking the Salton Sea, mm-hmm. And also there's we saw spent shell casings on the side of the road. And all this whole public expression of death and La Virgen Maria, the Virgin Mary, all these, it's like a native spiritual spot as well, right?
Don't quote me on this, but it's one of the, I guess there's five major chiefs and one of them a long time ago declared that as like a very holy spot.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like you had brought this up today and I in the car and I really didn't put it together. But like there's remnants of like coral there and stuff like attached to the rocks. It
used to be underwater at some point.
For sure,
it's all covered.
But somebody's taking care of, especially the Santa Muerte. It seems like it's kind of unfortunate, but this is kind of part of that Santa Muerte thing. Is the altars, any Santa Muerte altar? It's kind of like they're gonna get vandalized. They're gonna get destroyed. Broken. Yeah, The Virgin Mary one is like they're planting trees and it's all that. And it's, you said it's probably like hardcore fundamentalists trying to break them down and stuff. And which kind of sucks. There was this really nice big statue and it's like, looks like they had to rebuild the face and looks like it was straight up broken in half. Yeah. So it looks like it's had to be rebuilt soon. But I think what we're going to try to do is as we make our way down there, because I go down that way pretty quite often for like off-road activities and stuff. So part of what we talked about in the past with the whole Santa Muerte thing is when you have your statues, you have like your three statues, one of them is you're supposed to be gifted one, you're supposed to buy one, right? And then you're supposed to steal one.
The stealing one is like a spicy one. Controversial, but like you went down to Mexico.
That's where
City.
I got mine.
And that's the tradition that they themselves told you about. Like, this is how we do it. So.
Yeah. So I do not like the idea of stealing from a shopkeeper. I would hope that nobody would do that to us, especially in our storefront that is close to opening. But these public altars, in my eyes, that's the best place to do it. So I'm going to do my best as I go through that area, which I do quite often off Highway 86. Is leave more of our statues there, and that can be the one you guys steal. I think that qualifies.
Yeah, if anybody wants to stop off there, just keep an eye out. We're going to start leaving things there, basically.
Yeah.
So if you want to pick up one for yourself.
Those public altars, that's probably the...
The spot.
That's, I think, how you should do it.
Yeah. We're going to end with this. We are well on our way to open up our first... like legit Sneak Reaper Industries storefront. We have some events planned around it where some of our close friends and vendors are going to show up.
A lot of vendors.
It's going to be a party.
Yeah. I want to do it like a kind of like a, like if you got a classic car or a cool car, I want to do it as like a car show too. And like I don't think I've had a vendor who works with us say, no, I won't be there.
We're gonna assemble the Avengers, dude. Like all the cool, all
every
the cool
knife people. Maker. So far, every knife maker has said yes. Even the ones that live kind of far are willing to come down and set up a booth for one day. You know,
yeah.
This is gonna be like it's a free event. You know, just come down and support. You know, even if you don't buy anything from us that day, like all these vendors are bringing stuff. We're gonna cook a carne asada for everybody. It's gonna be.
We might have some tattoo artists show up.
Yeah, actually, and you know what you know more badass to get a Sneak Reaper tattoo than
yeah
you know by a bruja who's doing tattoos right in front of the storefront. It don't get better than that. You know?
Wild, wild. Yeah, we're gonna have we're gonna have like some cool people show up. And again, this is like the first steps to having like a legit storefront, which I'd never dreamed that we were gonna get to. And it's gonna be. I've seen some of the progress.
We've been working really hard, and there's people.
It is. I've dreamed about walking into a store like this, where you could find, you know, all of the cool merch that you can never find because we're always selling out everything. All of the knives and some of the vendors that we have, showcasing some of the historical stuff that we've had in the past. We're gonna have a collection of like a lot of the stuff we've done in the past
and stuff you can only buy at the shop.
Yeah, and Eddie and me are traveling around constantly, and we're running into weird shops and witches markets. And every time we see anything weird, we get a lot of them, and we have our curios and our botanica segment at the store as well. So if you want to buy some weird shit, this is where to go.
We're literally buying like
oddities,
everything we like. If we think it is rare, we're buying like all of them. Yeah. So it's not that.
So that's on its way. We're going to kind of announce some of that as we go. But yeah, I'm excited for that. Finally to have like a legit spot where if people want to travel to like stock up, this is going to be it. And planning more events around it. And, hopefully it becomes, one of those yearly type things where like people show up.
I think we'll be able to run like small training classes out of it too, as well.
Awesome. Well, Eddie, we've had a very substantial. Dude, it is active.
Straight up 11 o'clock at night. we were in Palm Springs this morning.
Yeah.
Now we're in TJ.
Yeah. Yeah. it's been a trip. I need a break. I need a nap.
I need an energy drink. I need a drive home.
God damn. Well, you know, there's some Listo
here. Listo energy drink.
Listo energy drink. The paleta de sandía, dude. You killed it.
It's really good. It tastes really good.
All right, Eddie. Well, I guess we'll. This was definitely one of the damage report. This is substantial damage report.
My neck still hurts. That's what's the in the damage report.
And I still don't know where my head is.
I'm still retarded.
All right, Eddie. We'll see you back in the next one.
All right.